Hello, everybody. This is Richard Carafell from Agility, and welcome to PR Profiles. It's a video series and podcast where we chat with experts in the PR and communications industry, because we think PR is the most formidable, dynamic, and rewarding field there is. And we want to introduce you to some of our favorite powerhouses in the industry. And today, we're speaking with Yaniza Echizarraga. Hi, Yaniza. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're thrilled to have you. Now, Yaniza is the co-founder of boutique communications agency Twin Minds Media. She has over 14 years of experience in Hispanic media and PR, working with organizations across the technology, healthcare, entertainment, and CPG sectors, including Neutrogena, Aveeno, PBS Kids, and Canon. And in addition to her work in PR, Yaniza has extensive experience in content marketing and influencer partnerships. Okay, so welcome to the show, Yaniza. We're going to jump right in here. Let's begin by talking about your agency, Twin Minds Media, which is described as a Hispanic boutique PR agency serving clients in the U.S. and Latin America. So can you tell us about your decision to launch the agency with your co-founder, Claudia Solis? And how did you know it was the right time? And what need or gap in the PR industry were you looking to fill?
Yes. So my background at that point, I was working at an agency. I was the account manager for Neutrogena in the Hispanic market on the agency side. And Claudia was the chief editor at FN News Agency. I was pitching her a lot. So that's how we met, you know, on the phone and things like that. And then I had my two daughters. I decided to take a break. I did some freelancing, consulting, and Claudia coincidentally did the same thing at the same time that I did. We had a mutual friend who said, you guys should, you know, get together for coffee and meet, because I think you have experiences and expertise areas that really complement each other. And we did. We met in person for the first time after talking on the phone, for so long through our work. And at that meeting, we said, you know what, we talked about our vision for the industry and the challenges that we saw and the opportunities and things that we saw that could be better or different. And we were on the same page and aligned. And that's how Twin Minds Media was born, with the idea to serve, you know, brands. And also we were thinking about serving other agencies through, you know, PR services, outsourcing, but also content creation, influencer marketing assistance, all kinds, you know, everything that goes into PR. But that's how we, you know, how it was born, because we saw the need for, basically we saw the need for more quality content and just, you know, strategies that were more in line with the market and the needs of the market and that really spoke to our community.
All right. That sounds interesting. And interesting that you work with brands and you also serve other agencies if they need or would like to have some help with that. Wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you. That sounds like a great endeavor. All right. Now your agency takes a multi-channel integrated communications approach with clients. Now, could you walk us through this approach a little bit and how you set expectations with your clients?
Yeah. So we say integrated multi-channel because we've seen, you know, when we started in 2015, that a lot of clients would come and they just wanted to do, let's do a PR campaign. Let's put this press release out and, you know, let's announce that we just launched this new product, this new feature, or we just opened a restaurant, whatever it may be. And we realized that there was no connection between what they were doing in PR to what they were doing on social media or, you know, in their blog. There was just a disconnect completely. And, you know, we started to realize the positioning was very different. The messaging was different. And we said, hey, why don't you, you know, there has to be consistency. You need to communicate the same way, you know, in at least the same messages in all channels. And that's how we started, you know, a sort of amplifying or widening our approach and saying, okay, do you need content? We can do that for you as well. So that there would be, you know, a line of consistency throughout what they were doing for the market, be it, you know, brand journalism or content for their blog or white papers, bylines, anything, but that there would be, you know, a connection between everything. And in all the channels that they communicate with their target audience, they all, you know, relay the same messages and positioning, and there wouldn't be that disconnect where you got different, you know, kind of different brand personas depending on where you went.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's something that was certainly the case, certainly like in the mid 2010s, back when you got started with your agency. But yeah, there's a kind of a one size fits all approach, you know, to some of these different channels where you really needed to, you know, to shake it up a little bit to get the right attention for those audiences.
They would want to work with influencers and didn't realize they had to adjust their messaging or the approach to content, you know, because this was a different thing and they wanted to do, okay, the influencer has to say this, this, and that. And we're like, it doesn't work like that. You have, you know, this is a different communication channel. You have to like change the approach. So yeah, that's, you know, that's why we call it integrated, because we really customize for each channel, but there is consistency throughout.
Okay, that's great. All right, thank you, Yuniza, for taking us through that. Now, you shared with us that you feel that many brands of all sizes tiptoe around the Hispanic market and approach it in a, you know, a superficial kind of cookie cutter way. So could you give us an example of such an approach and share your suggestions as to how brands can take more advantage of today's opportunities in Hispanic PR and marketing?
Yes, I would love to. This is a passion area for me. So, you know, what we see often is that brands either do one-off campaigns or, you know, they activate during a certain time of the year and then they pretty much disappear for this market. So they may do something for Cinco de Mayo, or they may do something for Day of the Dead, right? Like specific holidays or seasons or Hispanic Heritage Month. And then after that, there's like silence, right, from the brand in terms of what are they doing for the market or for the community as a whole. And to me, that's very, you know, narrow-minded and also kind of, you know, insulting in a way, because I'm like, okay, you know, it's, we're 19% of the population at this point. The census said, you know, 62.6 million of us. And the fact that you're just activating during these times and then just disappearing, it's not, you know, it's not, it doesn't say, you know, it's not good for your reputation, for your brand image, for any of that. And it really doesn't align with what a lot of brands have as their DEI, you know, mission and initiatives and things like that. So that's what I call cookie cutter, which is, you know, you activate for these specific holidays and then you're out and you go do your, the rest of your marketing or PR strategy. Another thing that I think that I see that I think it's, you know, it's should be changed is they take the general market strategy, right? General market should now be multicultural as it is, but they take the general market strategy and they try to adapt that to the Hispanic market. So they look through it and they're like, okay, where can we activate or how can we adapt this to the Hispanic market? And then they do that, you know, the exercise that way instead of including the Hispanic approach and plan from the get-go, from the beginning when they're planning, you know, instead of having multicultural be a priority, it's like an add-on, right? Like an afterthought. Okay, let's, we have to include this. So let's look at what we have already and let's insert it here and there. So, you know, so we do something and it's not like we didn't do anything, right? And then another thing is when they do campaigns or strategies or initiatives that they, it's like a very sort of, again, narrow-minded, myopic approach, because they're like, we're going to speak to Hispanics. But Hispanics are, it's a very diverse community. We have Mexican Americans, we have Cuban Americans, we have, you know, Colombians and Salvadorians. It's a huge community. So trying to do like one activation and pretending that that's going to resonate with all of the community, I think it's absolutely, you know, wrong, because we all have different realities, right? And for example, the Mexican American community in Los Angeles has a different experience, you know, culturally or socio-politically than Cuban Americans in Miami, right? Or than Colombians in New York or Dominicans in New York. So I feel that, you know, the right approach there is to customize your strategy and say, wait, who do we want to reach? Who do we want to talk to? And then adapt that strategy, that messaging, you know, to that specific target audience within the Hispanic market. Right. And if you do want to talk to all Hispanics, then adapt your messaging and the way you approach Mexicans versus Cubans or Puerto Ricans. The, you know, we all have different realities and experiences in our countries, but also in this country. So I feel that that sort of deep knowledge can only be brought by someone who's Latino or who really knows the market, because then you know, hey, Mexicans don't call this that, you know, or Mexicans don't eat this. So don't try to like, you know, reach them by talking about eating, you know, I don't know, something that Cubans eat versus that. So things like that. But you really need to, you know, really need to pay attention to those nuances, because they can really irritate people, right? They're like, why are they selling me this thing? We don't eat that, right? Or why are they telling me that, you know, about this beauty standard? We don't even do that. So I think that's when you really need the expertise of someone who knows the market and who knows the, you know, the groups of people in the community and says, you know what, these, you know, the Mexicans don't think like that, or Cubans don't think like that, right? Or yes, we all think the same or very similar in this issue, which could also happen. So I feel that, you know, those are challenges that we're experiencing when it comes to when brands, you know, approach Hispanic PR. And the way to solve that is, you know, to really have someone who knows the market provide information, you know, their expertise, but also to be very authentic in the approach. And if you do have, you know, these DEI, you know, priorities, to make sure that your communication aligns with that, because people, you know, see that you're saying publicly that you want more diversity and inclusion, right? And then when you're doing your PR, it does not reflect that at all. So I feel that there has to be more alignment there and more consistency and more, you know, investment in the market that truly reflects what, you know, we're saying when it comes to DEI and to prioritizing, you know, the market in general.
Oh, you made a lot of great, great points there.
I tried to put a lot of stuff in there.
Well, you certainly hit the authenticity point on, you know, hit that nail on the head, because, you know, those cookie cutter campaigns, as you described them, you know, that activate during the holidays and so forth, you know, they are, you know, anyone can see through those, you know, there is no authenticity behind the planning or execution of those campaigns, not to mention the, you know, the selective timing, you know, that goes into it. And also the, you know, you know, it's funny that we even have a multicultural approach. You know, that should be the standard now, you know, because you know, because you've got all these different Hispanic, you know, cultures, you know, involved that are in the U.S., but you've also got, you know, plenty of Asian cultures.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean,
yes.
There's so many that multicultural, you know, it's almost a meaningless word now. I mean, it's obviously not a meaningless word, but
it should be the standard. Yeah, it should absolutely be the standard. You know, when you sit at the table to plan, that should be your approach, not, you know, oh, we're going to do this, but then adapt certain things to these markets. You know, like it shouldn't be like that. I believe 50-something percent of the younger population is multicultural. So we already, you know, the trend is that way already. Mm-hmm. I think that's the latest percentage I saw. So
yeah,
half of the population of the younger demographic. Mm-hmm.
I think marketers and PR people really need to think more that way. And I agree, you need to have people representing those cultures on your staff, you know, working on those campaigns, if you want to have that authenticity. And it's, you know, brands and businesses kind of overlook the importance of that, but it's, you know, it's very important, and it's becoming more and more important with each, you know, with each passing, you know, day almost.
Yeah. So and the topic, for example, of language, right? At some point a few years ago, the idea was, or the, you know, the market approach was, okay, a lot of Hispanics are, you know, acculturating, or they're going through acculturation, right? Which is they're adapting to U.S. Culture, and they're you know, they're learning English, and they're really not speaking that much Spanish, at least not the younger ones. Well, now the census just proved that Spanish is the second most common language in the U.S., excuse me. So it's like, okay, never mind. We got to incorporate Spanish again, because it is being, you know, consumed, and it is being, you know, it's a language that's being spoken every day. And it's growing. Yeah. So it's like, you know, there's also the layers to that, right? When we approach the market, we were talking about different generations within the market and how they approach, you know, culture and their, you know, their Hispanic identity. We're talking about language adoption. A lot of younger, you know, Hispanic Americans are now trying to learn Spanish, or trying to, you know, if they had a cultured to the American way, now they're trying to really capture again and you know, and bring back that, you know, pride of I'm Latino, and this is, you know, so there is a lot of, you know, of things that are happening within the market that I think, you know, they have to be taken into account. You know, something as simple as accent, when you're doing, you know, a commercial or an activation, or Latinos can tell by the accent where the person's from, right? So if you're trying to target, again, Puerto Ricans or Dominicans in New York, they can tell if the person speaking to them, whether that is, you know, an ad or whatever, any other kind of activation, if they are Puerto Rican like them or Dominican like them, right? So just things like that, that are very, seem very minor, but they are crucial to truly authentically connecting to you know, to each community.
Right. Indeed. And that should be top of mind for brands these days. There's really no excuse for it not to be. So thank you for sharing all that, Yuniza. That's great. Now, you wrote on a recent blog post on your site, or there was a recent post, you know, where you talked about the Hispanic families, they are very common in the U.S. and they hold about a $1.5 trillion purchasing power. And that, you know, if that doesn't wake brands up, you know, what would, they're also, Hispanics are very brand loyal and they place a premium on word of mouth. And plus Latina influencers have the ability to impact buying decisions as they, you know, are heavily clustered in industries that place a premium on trust and authenticity, as we talked about. So can you share with us just your approach for tapping into this powerful population, you know, via influencer marketing and how other agencies and brands can also include that?
Yes. So, I mean, Latinos over index in social media. So we are very, you know, active on there. I believe the latest that I saw from TikTok in particular was that 1 in 5 TikTok adult users are, you know, Latinos or Hispanics. So we over-index, you know, and because we are community driven, right? So we go there and we engage, we comment, we're just very active. So I think brands who are not trying to reach Latinos or the Hispanic community on social media are absolutely leaving money on the table and just leaving on the table really the chance to connect and engage, you know, with this very, very interactive and just, you know, active and loyal community. One way to do that is through influencer marketing. We know that the Latinos look up to influencers, they follow them, they engage, but also, you know, if they recommend a product, they look into it because we're very heavy on word of mouth. And it's something that, you know, again, because of the whole community, aspect of how we do life and how we, you know, how we approach, our everyday, then it's something that we do, you know, pay attention to the recommendations of other people like us and what they say, hey, you know, try this product or not. So I feel that with influencer marketing, brands have a huge opportunity there, not only to speak, connect to the market, but also really, you know, pay attention and strategize and plan around those nuances that we talked earlier about, which is, you know, when you partner with these influencers, they know their community, they know their followers, they know what their followers, you know, like, they know what content to make to get their engagement. So I feel that, you know, it's not only partnering with them long-term, which is also huge because sometimes, again, they partner with Latina influencers or, you know, Latino influencers, Hispanic influencers in general, but they do something for Hispanic Heritage Month. And then they're like, okay, we're done with that. Check. Let's move on to the rest. And, you know, that really doesn't serve the brand at all because of the content saturation that we have nowadays online, you need to be present, you know, very consistently, if not all the time, right? So the fact that brands are just activating these influencers, you know, for specific times of the year and then just like calling it a day and saying that we're done, absolutely, I think, you know, it's the wrong approach. So how to do it long-term, consistency pays off because the brand, the followers, the consumers see that the influencer is loyal to this brand. They're being authentic with the recommendation because they it's like a long-term thing. And then that obviously gives them more trust about trying the brand or, you know, buying it, recommending it to their family. So I feel that, you know, long-term consistency has to be a priority. Second, give the influencers creative freedom, please. Don't try to say, okay, you need to say these key messages and that's it, or I want the content to look this way. If the influencer knows what resonates with their followers, because they know, you know, that their followers are, you know, more into videos and this, or their followers like more comedy content than, you know, then let the influencer give you that feedback, especially when it comes to cultural, aspects of the campaign. Let them talk to you and say, hey, why don't we change this? So I prefer to do it this way. And I think that's what really builds a powerful campaign when there is communication both ways. Consistency, creative freedom, and then obviously look at, you know, the platform where your audience is. Don't try to do everything. If your audience is more on TikTok, go there, where we know that, you know, Latinos are over-indexing. If you're there on Instagram, go there. But there's pretty much Latino influencers everywhere these days on Twitch. Spanish is now Spanish language is now one of the, you know, most common languages spoken on Twitch right now. I was reading the other day that Hispanics are like growing like crazy, the community inside Twitch, for example. So that's more gaming, but you know, it also includes other things. But look where your target audience is spending time and go there and partner with these people that know their community better than anybody else. And they know how to create engagement, right? And then the last point I want to make here is that you know, sometimes we think of Latina influencers or Hispanic influencers in general as, okay, they are going to reach the Latino market, so let's just use them for that. Well, lately, as we've seen, the Latino market is influencing other markets, be it through culture, art, you know, whatever it may be. I mean, I think culture, art, and even the growth in finances, you know, our you know, our purchasing power, you know, things like that. I feel that saying that Latina influencers are just going to reach Latinas, or it's absolutely also the wrong approach. There are many Latina and just Hispanic influencers that reach a variety of people. They reach, you know, white Americans, they reach Asians. So I feel that, you know, the approach is also should also be, okay, we're partnering with this person, but not just to reach Latinos particularly. She can reach all kinds of, you know, of audiences and influence them as well. So that approach should also be tweaked a little.
I agree with everything you said there. And I agree certainly that Latino and Latina influencers can, you know, certainly reach beyond that audience with influence. You know, not only are these brands who fail to execute, you know, they're not only leaving all this money on the table, as we said, a $1.5 trillion purchasing power, but they're also leaving a big hole in their authenticity when it comes to demonstrating their DEI, you know, efforts and everything you mentioned there. So that's fantastic. That is great advice. Thank you, Yuniza. All right, now let me just ask you this. Now, what advice would you give to students or people that are just starting out in PR with this approach in mind?
Okay, so I have several things that I want to share. This is a passion area for me as okay. well. I not only like to work in the industry and you know, work with clients, but I love to mentor and to share, you know, whatever I can to help the, you know, PR pros that are just starting out or students that are, you know, studying PR marketing. So I would say advice for them would be open to learning, because as we know, this industry moves, you know, very fast. It's, you know, something that's changing every day. And now with AI, it's going to change faster. So be open to learning and, you know, try to learn something new about the industry, you know, not every week, every month, I don't know, read articles, read, you know, blogs about that you know, that cover PR marketing and really, you know, learn what's there, what's new, the trends, what's coming, things like that. And that's how you really are going to be able to serve your clients better. Second, protect your brand and reputation. As PR pros, we clearly do that for our clients, right? We're always thinking about ahead of time of like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. We, you know, our job is to create a positive image and protect it, right, for our clients. We need to do that for ourselves too. I feel that, you know, as professionals, we need to work with honesty, with integrity. And that's part of the brand that we're creating, you know, and the way we show up says a lot. So please protect your own reputation and your own brand as a professional, your personal brand, because that is what's going to open doors for you and really, you know, make the networking 10 times more powerful if you have a very strong and respected brand. The other thing would be show up to do your best work, no matter how big or small the project is. Sometimes, you know, when we're starting out, we get smaller campaigns or we do consulting work or whatever it may be, or we're working for a client that's not very well known. Well, I think that's where you need to really shine and say, you know what, I showed up, gave 110%, no matter the size of the you know, of the project. And again, this goes back to building your brand and showing people that you show up to do your best no matter what, right? Every single time. And last but not least would be prioritize your mental health. That's huge for us here at Twin Minds Media. It's, you know, something that coming from an agency background and my partner coming from a journalism background, there's a lot of stress involved, you know, in those industries and in those spaces. So we said, okay, when we create something together, the business, we really want to prioritize time with the family, time off, anything that's really going to help us come back and show up, you know, fully energized and ready to go for our clients. So we truly prioritize mental health here. And you know, we tell our team members, hey, if you need to take a day off, let us know in advance. As long as the work gets done, we really believe that there should be more balance. You know, it's not gonna be perfect, but more balance between personal and work. And so that would be something that's something that I always tell, you know, younger PR pros, it's, or people that are starting out, you need to prioritize that, because it's very easy to get sort of wrapped up in the whole excitement of PR and campaigns, and then you realize that you have not, you know, taken time off in 6 months. So I feel that, you know, it's something that should be emphasized more in the industry, the whole mental health aspect of what we do.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's certainly an industry that can consume you if you let it.
Absolutely, yes.
So yeah, that's an important point. And all those points you made, great advice you gave there. All right, thank you, Yuniza. That's fantastic. Now, finally, how can people connect with you?
Perfect. So I think the best way would be LinkedIn. That's where I'm more active nowadays. They can search my name. I'll spell it out for them. Y-A-N-E-I-Z-A. And last name is E-C-H-E-Z-A-R-R-A-G-A. And also reach me on Instagram if that's your preferred platform. I'm on there with my first name and last name's initial. So Y-A-N-E-I-Z-A-E. I know. It's a complicated name.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. That's great. All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing all that. All right. That's wonderful. Now, thanks. And that's all the time we have, everybody. So again, we've been chatting with Yuniza Echezarraga, co-founder of Twin Minds Media. So thank you again, Yuniza. We really enjoyed speaking with you and a lot of those great points you made.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Wonderful. All right. We hope you enjoyed this episode of PR Profiles brought to you by Agility. And if you're a fan of our podcast, please consider leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcast or Spotify to help others discover our show. And if you're watching this episode on YouTube, subscribe to the Agility PR Solutions channel so you're the first to know when a new episode of PR Profiles is released. All right, and thanks again, everybody, for watching. I'm Richard Carafell. We hope to see you on the next episode.